Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Magnolia Public Schools Regular Educational Partners and Development Committee. My name is Jennifer Lara. I'm the Executive Assistant and Board Secretary here at Magnolia Public Schools. It's a pleasure to be here with you all. And as mentioned yesterday, and I'll mention it again today, happy Ramadan to those who are observing. So before we begin, a couple of quick reminders. First, this meeting is being recorded. Second, if you're a member of the public and you wish to give a comment during the public comment section of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name. If it is something that you feel uncomfortable in doing so, you do not have to state your name. However, as a reminder to our committee members and staff, as always, please state your name before giving your comment or your question. And with that, we'll officially open tonight's meeting. The day is Thursday, April 7th, 2022. The time is 5:04 p.m. With that, Ms. Covarrubias, if you may please call the meeting to order.
Yes, hi, thank you, Jennifer. Thanks everybody for being here. I would like to call the meeting to order.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. With that, I'll take roll call. Ms. Covarrubias?
Here.
Thank you, Dr. Yabano.
Here.
Thank you to our committee members. We've established quorum. Next, we'll move on to the approval of agenda. The motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll make the move, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Thank you, Dr. Yabano, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Yabano?
Yes.
Yes, thank you to our committee members. The agenda has been approved as presented. Next, we'll move on to public comments. As a reminder, you're given 3 minutes to state your comment, 6 minutes if translation is needed. If you're a member of the public and you wish to give a public comment, you may do so now. Perfect. If there's no public comments, we'll move forward next with the approval of minutes from the Development and Stakeholder Committee meeting on March 10th, 2022. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll make the move, Covarrubias.
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Thank you, Dr. Yabano, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Yabano?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our committee members. The minutes for March 10th, 2022 has been approved. Now we'll move on to our information discussion items, starting with 2A, 2022 through 23 employee pay raise scale for full-time teaching positions and non-classroom-based academic positions and school leaders. I'll turn it over to first Mr. Ajar, our Chief Operations Officer.
Good evening, board members. This is Suat. I'm the Chief Operations Officer. I'd like to first start with Steve's analysis about the base increases, then I'll take it over about the HR-related items. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Mr. Jar, for that. So what I will do is I will share three pieces of information with you, and these are some salary scenarios that we've been discussing over several weeks now and doing analysis on various things, including our ADA, our revenues, expenditures, and so forth. And so what I'll do is I'll begin by sharing some information on financials, and then I'll go over some one-time funding as well as some contingency plans that we've placed together. So I'll start with MSA1, and as I go through these, I will kind of give you some context. I'll start with all of the context first so that we're clear on what some of the assumptions are, and then I'll kind of go through each school, and afterwards, you know, we can certainly go through some Q&A, I'll go ahead and begin with MSA1. So I'd like to start with the first thing you see on the top of the sheet there is the assumptions as it relates to the ADA. So we have two schools of the 10 that actually were able to increase ADA from the 19-20 school year through the current 21-22 year. And those two schools are MSA1 and MSA2. The other eight schools, MSA3, through San Diego experienced some decline in enrollment slash ADA, mainly due to the effects of the pandemic, along with reduced enrollment to ADA. And that has to do with, you know, the students showing up. And, you know, there was a time back in 1920, prior to the pandemic, where some of our school sites had 97% enrollment to ADA. And what that means is 97% of the kids came, they showed up, they were in their seats, and they were ready to learn. And so now, after a couple of years of having gone through some challenges, that average enrollment to ADA for all the school sites is closer to about 92%. So that means we're being funded less because of the fact that the students are enrolled, but they're just not coming in as frequently. So the assumption for ADA here at MSA 1, 676, that's using current year, and the hold harmless provision SB 579, which allows schools to utilize ADA for the year. To utilize ADA based on one of three factors, and the first one would be to use the higher of 3 years, so the higher of 1920, 2021, or 21-22, or a three-year rolling average, or to be able to fall back on the 1920 ADA, which many districts have done, and were able to not have such a huge hit to their financials due to loss of enrollment. And so here we were able to project out for using 21-22, and then in the 2 years out in 23-24 and 24-25, we are utilizing provisions from SB 830, which would allow local education agencies to be funded based on enrollment rather than ADA, which we anticipate is going to happen because the majority of states, we have about probably 44 to 45 states use enrollment-based funding. California is one of about five or six states that still do the traditional option where the kids have to be counted by showing dates. And we anticipate that that'll change by the time we get to 23-24. So that assumption is built in that we're going to be going to enrollment-based funding beginning in 23-24. And so some additional assumptions that I'd like to go over are we're using the governor's January proposal of 5.3% cost of living adjustment, and then 3% in the two out years because it's an unknown. So we expect it to be about 3%. It could be higher, it could be lower, we don't know. In terms of the federal revenues, we are projecting that we're gonna spend down those one-time ESSER funds and the ELOP funds and the ELOG funds, those one-time funds that we have received during the pandemic. We anticipate spending those down largely on personnel costs in year one, which would be 22-23, as well as year two, 23-24. And this assumes that all of those funds would be exhausted by 24-25 and we wouldn't receive any new money for that third year out. So That's what the assumption is there. And the same thing goes with the other state revenues. We're assuming that we're not gonna get any more pandemic related funding, that the pandemic, you know, will much end. We won't get any additional money as a result of pandemic related activity. The other local revenues you see there, it's just a round number there, 50,000. That's projected based on fundraising. Now, each school site has different levels of fundraising. Some are able to fundraise more than others. And so we just looked at historical data, used that as an average plug number, assuming that they fundraise it the way that they've done in the average of 3 years. And so on the expenditure side, the certificated and classified salaries assume no changes to personnel. So we assume staffing would be as is from now into these out years, that we wouldn't add or reduce anyone. In addition, the Los Angeles schools, which would be MSA 1 through 8, expenditure assumptions for certificated salaries assume a $57,000 base salary. Now that's an increase from the current, which ranges from between 51 to 52, depending on the site. And so we're projecting to increase teacher salaries and other certificated non-classroom based salaries to that $57,000 base. And then the other two schools that I'll share with you, we're projecting a base salary that would go to $53,000 from the current $49,000. Now on the classified side, we have incorporated an 8% increase to classified to the classified salary expenses, assuming, keeping up with the cost of living and inflation and so forth. That's the assumption that's used in all of these projections that you'll see here. And the books of supplies and services, we're just kind of assuming that it's gonna be spending as it's been done without having to incorporate additional one-time expenses and just kind of moderate spending on those areas. And so with that, I'll go over MSA 1 and I'll go ahead and I'll go over the rest of the schools. So for MSA 1, we are projecting for next year, $12.2 million worth of revenues, which would be offset by $11.5 million worth of expenditures, allowing for a $665,000 approximately surplus projected out for next year, allowing the school to maintain a healthy fund balance of about $9.7 million. And again, surplus is projected for those 2 years out of $1.1 million and $922,000 or so for the 2 years out. You know, the school's been able to maintain enrollment, so it looks like they're able to increases to compensation costs. And so now if we could please switch over to MSA 2. Now this is similar to what I talked about with MSA 1. This is a school that did not experience a decline in enrollment from 1920 to the current time. They were actually able to increase enrollment by about 7 or 8% over the 2 year period. And so we're anticipating that we're using current year, which would be about 466 ADA, and we're assuming moderate increases in years 2 and 3 of 500 and 540 in each of the 2 years respectively. With that assumption is the $57,000 base salary for certificated staff, along with a 8% increase for classified staff. And as you can see, the site is projecting to be able to maintain small surpluses, not as large, but $124,000 year one, $416,000 in year two, and then less so in year three, about $48,000 as we've are projecting to have exhausted all of those one-time monies and to not receive any additional one-time funding in 24-25. And as you can see, healthy ending fund balances and reserves of about $3.5, $3.9, and $4 million in each of those years. Now, if we could go to MSA 3, please. So here you have a situation that's a little different than I described in the previous two. Here we're utilizing prior year's ADA. Actually, we're going back and using the 1920 ADA, which was 468. So we want to be able to utilize the hold harmless provision for next year's funding to try and take advantage of, as maximize the dollars that we can. And then just projecting the same amount in year two with a slight increase up to 490 in year three. Again, these are the projections currently, and the assumptions are all the same in terms of compensation increases for certificated and classified staff. Based on the projections, it looks like MSA 3 would be able to allow for a small surplus of about 170,000 year one, and a little bit smaller in year two of 70,000 and about 52,000 in year three. Also being able to maintain sufficient reserves of $3.3 million, $3.4 million in each of those years. So again, wanting to be able to utilize, maximize the dollars as much as possible, while also allowing for compensation for staff. Now, if we could MSA 4. Now, we know that this one is a little bit of a challenge. The enrollment has declined over the years. We're aware of this, and we've been watching it carefully. So here we are doing the same thing. We're utilizing the hold harmless provision of about 121, 122 ADA, really maximizing our dollars and then projecting small increases in the two out years to 136 and 140, allowing the school to just maintain very small surpluses. And this is one where there are reserves there. It's a smaller school site. The reserves are not as significant as you've seen in some of the previous schools. They're only about 1.5 million or so, but again, not projecting any drawdown on those at this time, and wanting to be able to try to maximize support for the school, knowing the circumstances at MSA 4. And so if we could please go to MSA 5. So here you have the ADA, which we're going back and utilizing 267 approximately, which was the 1920 value, and anticipating that will stay the same in year one, in year two and in year three, with no significant growth, just stable ADA, and allowing for the school to really have about $749,000 with a surplus in year one, $647,000 year two, and then less than that, about $312,000 in year three, and being able to maintain healthy reserves of approximately $4.6 million, $5.2 million, $5.5 million in year three. So if we could please go to MSA 6. Now here you have sort of a similar circumstances as we described at MSA 4, where you have obviously enrollment being primary issue. And so we are anticipating the utilization of hold harmless here of 127.32 ADA with moderate growth in year two and that being flat in years two and three and being able to sustain about 130 kids or so, give or take, which is something that we are aware of. And we'll talk more about some of the efforts in terms of being able to increase enrollment at that site. But here we're projecting small surplus in year one, 21,000, 56,000 year two, and about 63,000 year three. Also allowing the school to maintain reserves of about $3 million in each of the 3 years and not projecting a drawdown on those reserves. Now, if we could go to MSA 7. Now here, MSA 7 did not experience a significant decline in ADA during the pandemic. Their decline was about 7 or 8%. So we're utilizing the hold harmless, and the ADA that we're using here is about 277 and projecting moderate growth in years two and three of 312 and 330. This would allow the school to have essentially a balanced budget with a reserve about 265,000 in year one, 161,000 year two, and then less than that, about 127,000 in year three. And then also this assumes, as I mentioned with all of the LA schools, assumes a $57,000 base salary for certificated staff and an 8% increase for classified salaries for all classified staff. And essentially this would allow the projections, based on the projections we're looking at, allow the school to maintain reserves of in excess of $3 million in each of those 3 years, as you can see there. So now we can go ahead, if we could switch over to MSA 8. This site experienced a decline in enrollment as well. So we're utilizing the 1920 ADA value, which is about 461 students, and assuming that number holds flat in year two with a small projected increase to 475 in year three, again, allowing for the school to have a balanced budget with a surplus of about 692,000 in year one, 494 in year two, and 155,000 in year three. And also sufficient reserves in excess of $8 million in each of those 3 years, as you can see there. So now these next two schools, I'll discuss Santa Ana and San Diego. These two projections assume a $53,000 base for certificated staff, unlike the LA schools, which I had shared was 57. These salary projections assume 53,000 as a base, and then also an 8% on classified. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of the variations in the classified, and we'll get into that as Suat begins his discussion on pay scale. But here you see surpluses, small surpluses, generally 74,000 on $9 million is essentially we're anticipating a balanced budget for years 1, 2, and 3 with sufficient reserves of in excess of $9 million in each of the 3 years. Finally, we'll go ahead and move on to MSA San Diego. Here we are projecting 420 ADA and going back to 1920. We know that the schools lost some ADA, not a significant amount, but they've lost some due to the enrollment to ADA factors, just due to pandemic related issues. And so we're anticipating utilizing that 1920 value and have incorporated some moderate growth to 440 in year 2 and 445 in year 3, allowing for the school to have small surpluses projected out here for about 21,000, 133, and 91,000 in years 1, 2, and 3, and being able to maintain excess of $1 million in reserves for each of the 3 years. And so these are the projections. And then what I'd like to do is I'd like to share with you some additional information on some funding that we've received over during the pandemic, which essentially these were loans that were given to businesses and to nonprofits, Magnolia being a 501c3 nonprofit. We were able to apply for and receive approximately $5.4 million worth of PPP funding. And you can see the breakdown there. The range goes anywhere from $193,000 all the way up to almost $789,000. So each school got a significant amount in money from PPP. And over the course of time, those were started out as loans. The finance department did a lot of work in terms of processing this information and reporting out on proper spending. And so as a result, we were able to receive letters indicating that all of these, what were loans, have now been forgiven. And that has been indicated in the audit report that was presented to you back in January, that all of this PPP money that was initially a loan is now money that's been given to us that we don't have to pay back anymore. So it's helped to allow us to maintain reserves to the level we have. Many schools don't have this luxury. We were able to afford this and be able to capture almost $5.5 million. And it's a significant amount of money. And I think that it was a good thing that we were able to apply for, receive, and get those loans forgiven, really added a tremendous amount of resources for each of the school sites. Now, finally, I'll turn to some information that I thought I would share with you. And what this is these are contingency plans, fiscal stabilization plans, we call it. And basically we've worked with each of the school sites and we've identified dollar values of, amounts of potential cuts that we may have to make should some of the factors that I discussed in terms of legislation, enrollment, things like that not materialized. Each of the sites have worked diligently with staff to identify potential reductions in various areas, books, supplies, services, personnel, should the need arise. And so that's what I have for you on the financial side. I can turn it over to Suat on the scales, and then we can go over any questions that you may have.
Should I take it over from here or any questions to Steve?
I think if you want to go over, Suat, and then we can...
Let me finish, then we take the questions all together. Okay, then. Jen, can you scroll down to the chart at the bottom, which shows the all the position types and titles actually we have. Class is right. I'm sorry, this one is teachers and non-classroom based academy. So as Steve mentioned, the basic change that we made is to the basis actually at this point. The basis increased to 57 in the LA area schools and other San Diego and Santa Ana schools. Basis are 53. And aside from this, for teachers and non-classroom based academic personnel, we made a one position addition to the non-classroom based academic, a full-time addition, and that's the athletic director position. The schools actually approached to us. So until after several weeks and multiple meetings and back and forth feedback, so we came up with a tier structure for current teachers who are providing, up to 3 or 4 to 6 actually, to get 5 point or 10 point actually additional on top of their existing salaries as teachers. So these, coaches, let's say, will get those 5 or 10 points by teaching 50% of their time, and the rest of the 50 will be for coaching. Now, we call them tier one and tier two. And then instead of having a tier three, we said if the school is going to offer 7 or more sports, athletics, then we need to have some athletic director. That's the final decision we came up with. And then we decided to have a full-time position under the non-classroom-based academic personnel. The place that we are having the college counselors is now, we also have the athletic director position added into that one. We also completely renewed the annual add-ons with the job descriptions. In the previous years, we only had the titles. Now we have a job description for all of those annual add-ons at this point. We also enhanced actually the one-time add-ons, which are a direct actually addition to the defined benefits of the employees. So when they retire, they're going to get like a good chunk of money together instead of the like monthly wages that they will get. So those one-time add-ons also are updated. We also actually combined the board approvals that we got a couple of months ago to the administrators to provide Saturday schools, virtual or in-person home visits. We actually really improved a lot into the one-time add-ons as well. And then as per the approval, once we get the approval, we're going to start with the finance department to immediately actually work on the agreements right after the approval. So this is an information item, but I'm just giving you the timeline after this one. Long word short, the teachers non-classroom based academic personnel scale is almost the same as the previous years. We worked real hard on the add-on structure. Now the annual add-ons are having job descriptions. One-time add-ons are improved. The deans also are having multiple one-time add-ons at this point. And we added the athletic director position to the teachers, non-classroom-based academic, and school leaders actually scale. Jen, can we go to the classified? Steve, are we taking classified here?
Yes, but first we're in 2A. So until we're finished with 2A, then we can go on to 2B.
Okay, then. So this is it. So that's pretty much it. Most of the items are finance related, because we are making a drastic increase to the basis. If it is approved, then the rest of it will be just part of these increases. That's it, Jen.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Budraja. Thank you, Mr. Ajar. At this moment, is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, committee members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
Did you guys get any feedback from the finance committee?
Yes, we got. We actually operations got a feedback from finance committee for the classified, not this one. So for this item, no. Steve, on your end?
The feedback that we got from the finance committee had to do with two things. One was taking a look to see what the salaries are for other CMOs and what their bases are, and kind of coming back with some comparison data, which we're working on. The other is to provide a breakdown of compensation for certificated staff and by site to see what the average annual salary is. And so we actually have that information. We're up working on updating it. We have information that we can go ahead and bring back, and that's based on recommendations from the finance committee. So those were the two pieces that we would bring back during the next, during the April 21st board meeting.
Can I hear from the principals from these two schools, Santa Ana and San Diego? I know you guys are online. Please.
Santa Ana is here.
Yeah, San Diego's there. I see Mr. Sears too.
Hi. Hi, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Okay. So you want to go first, Maria?
No, please go ahead. No, please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. This is Gokhan Sears, principal from MSA San Diego. Ms. Covarrubias, any specific questions?
What do you feel about this
difference?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't like it, but at the same time, I mean, I presented this information to my staff. And of course, I mean, over the years, we had a $2,000 base difference between, you know, LA schools versus San Diego. Now that's even increasing a little bit more, but unfortunately the funding for our school is different than the LA schools that due to our 40% unduplicated number, our per pupil funding is, with the closest school, we have a $3,000 per student funding difference, which adds up to almost over a million dollar funding difference for our school. And also considering that extra, you know, the facility costs that we have, it's really not possible to actually take it to the 57 level. We actually, in a sense, barely make it to the 53,000 level at this point.
Oh, wait, Mr. Sears. Jennifer, is Dr. Yato still online?
Yes.
Okay, just wanted to double check. Sorry, go ahead, Mr. Sears.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, it's really unfortunate that we cannot afford to go to the 57,000 level, but when we do the numbers, when we work on the numbers, we actually just barely we make actually the 53,000 mark, especially considering the funding level that we receive per student and also the significant amount of cost that we have for the facilities and the land use from San Diego Unified School District.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, everyone. This is Maria Rao, and principal, elementary principal over in Santa Ana. I mean, I echo the same sentiment as Gokhan. I mean, it's disheartening that we're one of two schools that are not able to provide the same salary base as the majority of our Magnolia schools. We are on spring break this week, so we have yet to relay this information to our staff. We will do that next week on Wednesday at our staff meeting. But as this is my first year as a principal, and you know, I sat in all of the budget and finance meetings as well. And you know, I've been with the school site since we, you know, moved to Santa Ana location. And you know, yes, unfortunately, our enrollment has been on a decline, which is, you know, the major contributor to not being able to make such a high base increase like other school sites. You know, yeah, exactly what Mr. Sir said. I know even reaching the 53 is challenging for us, you know, as we have a lot of facility maintenance as well. And, you know, we are a unique school setting or school site where right, we own the property, so it's with the bond monies that we have received that we have a lot of outgoing monies. But hopefully, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for the feedback, principals. Is there any further questions or comments from our committee members? Perfect. If not, thank you for the presentation, Mr. Budraj, Mr. Ajar. So moving on to the next item on the agenda is information discussion item 2B, the MPS school site classified employees pay raise schedule for 2022 through 23. Mr. Ajar, I'll turn it over to you, our Chief Operations Officer.
Jen, can you scroll down to the last chart, which shows a variety of the position titles we have first? So this is actually all the classified position titles we are having at this point in our schools. And these are current average salaries and how many staff members we have currently actually with those titles. Some titles are actually very similar to each other, but I did not actually cut or add. I directly, you know, got it from our school sites. Some schools, because of their needs, they may add a little bit more actually to the title so that they have one person actually to multiple, you know, tasks to be done at the school site. But overall, actually, this is a general picture of our schools. And then after, you know, with the maximum increase, 8% increase, that's actually the average salaries that we can expect actually. As you see, the most numbers are around special education aid. If you look at, I think, bottom six or seven, the SPED aid, you see that's the highest actually count. Similar to that, the second highest is the office manager. Jen, if you scroll up, then I will just go over the impact analysis right here. Yes, thank you. In the previous years, we used to have 2%, 4%, 6% increases. And then we actually tied the increases to the evaluation results. As you can read actually from here, we also attached in the appendix one, the generic evaluation that Magnolia Public Schools uses, the paper-based. We also have an online tool that is utilized actually by the principals, HR and accountability department throughout the year. There are three actually times that principals sit down or supervisors sit down with the employees beginning of the year to set the goals, mid-year updates, and at the end of the year, we make a final actually evaluation. And then of course there are like informal evaluations throughout the year. We use an online tool. We also have a paperwork actually that you see in the appendix one. So at the end of the year, if the evaluation result actually is a 4/4, that's a highly effective employee. And then we actually say we are giving the highest raise, 8% to this person. So this year we changed actually. It was last year, until last year, highest raise was given to highly effective, and the second one actually highest actually raise was given to the effective, and the developing one, 2/4 was getting the lowest raise, and 1/4 was actually not given a job for the following year. So that was the idea. This year, actually following the consultant's advice, we tried to actually limit the number of raise types to 6% and 8%. Question that you asked, you know, if the finance committee made any suggestions. Yes, Dr. Dikpash actually said market actually is, you know, very similar to what we did in the previous years. So now I will go back and then add a lower level increase, like 4% on top of these 6 and 8% increases. So developing will get 4% and 6% actually will be given to effective and 8% to be given to the highly effective employees. Based on the evaluation results in 21-22 current school year. So for the sake of the impact analysis, when you look at chart one, this is basically, we looked at the total hours the employees are working, found actually their total you know, salaries or wages that they are actually accruing throughout the year. And then we made 8% increase to that. And that's the total you find for MSA one, for example, you see around 79. And totally, we are expecting a little less than $500,000 of increase. This is impact. So if you make 8%, that's the increase you are expecting for the following year. Funding, actually, Steve made a huge extensive analysis. That analysis also covers this one as well. You know, you're not going to be solely depending on operational, actually, surpluses. You know, you will use some one-time funds, perhaps the PPP loans. And we have a contingency plan, as Steve mentioned, in case things go south, we do have a contingency plan as well. Long or short, this is it. I'm open for questions.
Thank you for that, Mr. Jar. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, committee members, do you have any questions or comments?
Mr. Swat, I'm sorry, you mentioned Dr. Dikpash said we should lower it down to 4%.
No. Currently, we have two types of increases. We are giving 6% to both 2/4 evaluated personnel and 3/4. So developing and effective are getting the same raise. And Dr. Dikpash actually provided his feedback and said, why don't you do the thing that you did in the previous year and then differentiate between developing and effective staff? We said, okay, and then we will go back and add a 4% to 2 out of 4 employees and differentiate it with the effective employees, and effective employees will get 6%. That's his feedback, and we will do that.
Okay.
Any further questions or comments from my committee members? If not, thank you. Give me 1 second. Alrighty. If not, thank you to our committee members for your feedback for these 2 items. And this moment, that concludes all of our items for today's Educational Partners and Development Committee. I ask Ms. Covarrubias if you may please adjourn. The time is 5:44 p.m.
Yes, thank you to everybody for all their hard work. And thank you for everybody that's here online. I would like to adjourn the meeting at 5:45.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. I'll see you all at the regular board meeting at 6.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.